we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in, everybody. We're here. It is August 20th. We are here recording the FTN Dynasty Podcast. As the intro had said, we're here to talk some Dynasty football. We are going to not bury the lead, but we're going to talk about some rookies. We're going to talk about a recap of the 2026 rookie class. Just kind of, you know, we've gotten some training camp in there. We had one preseason game. We're going to get some more here this week. Instant early reactions here to a class that has been, I would say, fairly ever-changing since this season has begun, which has been, what, I guess you could argue rookie minicamp. Maybe since the draft, you could argue that this season has really begun. Before we do that, we got some injuries to talk about around the NFL, how that's going to impact some of it, most of them being fairly minor-ish. Tyler Warren, Rashad White popped up here with a hamstring and a groin injury. Neither overly concerning. Both should be probably ready for the beginning of the season. The main ones being Jaden Higgins and Alvin Kamara. Kamara's shorter period of time, the injury will keep him out, but does keep him out for a bit, really kind of opening up the room for Travis Etienne. Now, Travis Etienne isn't a guy that I've historically been totally in on. The advanced metrics aren't great for Travis Etienne. However, volume-based, he's a good enough NFL running back to handle and be a fantasy productive running back when given the opportunity and the volume. So again, big bumps for Travis Etienne. If you're a contender, the price probably went up now. You know, everybody's going to cash in off an injury. So again, good piece. Not really looking to move him if I'm a contender. If you're trying to acquire him, you're probably playing a premium at this point. The biggest injury being Jaden Higgins, who's going to miss the entirety of the season. Now, Higgins missing the entirety of the season opens up a big buy window for Jaden Higgins. I was primed for Jaden Higgins to be a breakout type of player here in this offense this season. Wasn't overly in on him coming out. I think he showed a little bit more in the rookie season than what I had expected. And I was ready for this full-on potential breakout from Jaden Higgins here in 2026. So that does put me into a spot that buying on the dip here of the entry here, he's going to be ready for 2027. It happened early enough in the season. If I'm a rebuilding team, I'm moving a immediate asset to a contender if that contender rostered Jaden Higgins. That's what I'm doing. At least I'm trying. That's the way to make the move and cash in off of the injury. We see it regularly, the injury dip, air quotes, needs to be happening, and the sooner the later, the sooner the better. Later may not be the best here in this situation. You'll still be able to move pieces for Jaden Higgins if you're kind of in the middle tiers where you don't want to give up maybe an immediate asset now. But I do think if you are rebuilding and you can give up the asset now is the best time, I think, to make that move, as the manager may be panicking a bit and might not feel like his team is deep enough at the positions to absorb the loss of Jaden Higgins. All right. That's basically it. Other than that, not too much going on. We got week two of the preseason coming up. Week one was fun. We're going to talk about that a little bit when we're talking about the rookie class. I don't want to get too deep into it. Didn't see a ton of starters, did see some. And again, you're talking a few snaps here or there, maybe a series or two from the starters in most of these games. So not huge takeaways, and you really shouldn't have a ton. You know, I mean, what are we gaining from it? You know, you're going to get the most when we get started talking here about this rookie class. You know, you're just listening to who's getting boosted up. Is that equaling, you know, more constant playing time with certain positions and certain groupings? You know, is someone playing with the ones more often than the twos? Now, interchangeably, they're going to at times. So these small one-off opportunities, you know, one day here, one day there, it's practice. They're trying to get these guys moved into spots in case they do need to fill in. But if you get a guy who's constantly playing with the ones, good chance that we should be moving him up the rankings. So again, nothing too crazy here going on in week one of the preseason. It was week one. Let's see. We'll have more to talk about probably by the end of, you know, week three. That bye week gap there between week three and week one of the NFL season, we will have plenty to digest and make some moves here in Dynasty. But before we dive into the meat and the potatoes, we got to keep the lights on here in the Popolars household, as well as the FTN households. Run over as you are speaking now. Run, physically run, to FTNFantasy.com. Check it out. If you're playing strictly Dynasty, we have tons of Dynasty tools. We have Dynasty Rookie Scouting Guide from Jeff Radcliffe. We have Dynasty Rankings, myself, Tyler Oginski, and Jeff Radcliffe. We have plenty of Dynasty articles coming out regularly. We have this podcast, which if you're already listening to, hopefully you're subscribed. We can definitely help you become a better Dynasty player. That's the goal. I don't need you to do everything I tell you to do. If that was the case, why would we play? The reason to play fantasy football, Dynasty especially, is because you want to make moves you want to make. You should just be here to absorb information in which I'm giving you to make you better. That's the goal. All right. If you want me to tell you, I'll tell you. Join the Discord. And if you want my exact move that I would make, I will tell you if that is what you want. But we should be trying to get better at the game. That's the goal. Ultimately, I am teaching you to not need me, which is kind of messed up if you think about it, right? Either way, add on over ftnfantasy.com. Some things may need to pay well. Check into it. We got some deals going on, you know? Besides, you gotta be there. All right, the rookie stuff will start coming out here when 2027 comes. It's never too early, all right, to be talking about the 2027 rookies. All righty. 2026. We're here. The season has arrived, and we can digest this rookie class some. We all know the stories. It wasn't the most historically breathtaking rookie class by any means. That being said, that was mostly as a whole. When it came down to it, the receiver class seemed fairly deep on the surface. You know, they probably didn't have that many Justin Jeffersons, Malik Nabers. But we had a lot of these guys that were potentially the Jordan Addison, Josh Downs, Robert Woods. Consistent wide receiver two potential upside here in this class. A lot of this also had some issues with the high-end portion of that receiver class, with some injuries and some historic kind of, the guy's pretty good, but the profile just doesn't line up. And then we also had that through the running back class. The running back class just, you know, analytically, all any advanced data point you wanted to pull was pretty bad, side of Jeremiah Love and, honestly, Jonah Coleman. So that's where I was pounding the table for Jonah Coleman as a running back to this entire process. I know he didn't get drafted like that. He fell further than I thought he was going to fall. Early reports, not bearing the lead, looking pretty good. I think Jonah Coleman should definitely be a guy that you are targeting in anywhere that you play Dynasty. Not really going to be a huge 2026 guy, I don't think. 2027, though, he is going to be primed as probably their lead back, okay? Either way, back to the overview. Quarterbacks, it was really Fernando Mendoza, and that's about it. The tight end grouping was the deepest, I think, of all of these. I think there's a lot of tight ends, but again, much like the receiver class, I don't know if we're getting Sam Laporta tight end here. I think we're getting some guys that could develop into very solid tight ends for a long time at the NFL level. So again, not a super deep class, but we're gonna get some assets. All right. And it seems the early trend here in mini camps, week one of the preseason training camp, is that the late round guys are the ones making the noise. All right. None of these guys really feel like Puka Nacua here. All right. But definitely some noisemakers coming from the back half of the draft, as well as mostly some of these guys could have been undrafted in our rookie drafts. Before we dive into those guys, top three. We're going to talk about top three wide receivers. Carnell Tate, not overly panicking at the moment. Yes, he didn't see a target in the opening preseason game. He was out there with the ones. I'm not overly worried about Carnell Tate. That receiver room does have some options. I think Wandale Robinson is going to cap Tate's overall volume to an extent, but being the explosive playmaker that Carnell Tate is, it should offset. All right. I'm not panicking on Carnell Tate by any means after a zero target preseason game. All right. I don't know if anybody is, but if you are and you need to hear this, do not. All right. Where the panics start to set in is probably Mekhi Lemon and Jordan Tyson. Okay. Lemon returned to practice today. So again, not overly concerned, but again, we're seeing some of that injury stuff kind of flare up with him a little bit. Hopefully that gets taken care of and we see him run out the rest of the season scotch free. Mostly for myself in redraft at least, but either way, Mekhi Lemon, don't panic. Jordan Tyson, that's the one we're not easing the mind any here on. Jordan Tyson flaring up with again a hamstring injury. Concerning injury history was also a big part of his profile. Like, he wasn't the number one receiver by a landslide because of the injuries. Overall, Lee, talent-wise, I think Jordan Tyson is the most talented wide receiver in this class. The issue is he's not been on the field that long, and the injuries pile up. We're seeing that again already early on. So it's not a career-ending injury. It's not, oh my God, Jordan Tyson is toast, move on from him, why'd you draft him type of scenario here. But it's just not easing my mind. All right? It was something we were concerned about, and it's flaring up and we haven't even played a real game that matters. So you're not moving on. Don't panic. Much like I said with Carnell Tate, much like I'm saying with Mekhi Lemon, the top class, we have nothing to panic about here. Anybody we talk about, there's no reason to panic. Okay. Just going to talk about some people making some noise outside of these three. So again, we have to talk about them. They're in the class. Don't panic. We should not be panicking. All right. Same thing for Kenyon Sadiq. Been injured. Patience. Just pump the brakes. Give it some time. It is dynasty. All right. On the other side with the Jets, Omar Cooper Jr. playing with the threes, arguably, or whether they're saying third in line behind Isaiah Williams. Like, I wasn't super high on Omar Cooper. I'm not saying that this is what we've gotten and that's what he's going to be forever. But in this class, he was a first-round pick in rookie drafts, 100%. Landing spot's not ideal. The Jets just are the Jets, let's be honest. I just don't see Omar Cooper as a true, strong NFL receiver. I just don't. He kind of gives me off the Xavier Leggett vibes, the Jonathan Mingo vibes. These guys were a little overdrafted coming off a really good season. And that doesn't mean that he's not going to be. There were some trades that looked really good, but then again, it was one splash in the pan. You know, we saw that from Jalen Hyatt. We saw that. We can give you a list of these guys. Now, Cooper had a limited route tree at Indiana in that final season in what was an explosive offense with, you know, Fernando Mendoza, first-round quarterback. You had Elijah Sherratt there. Tons of players that ended up getting drafted in that room. So A, may have been a little bit of a beneficiary to that system. And I do worry going to the NFL here still with Omar Cooper. Again, it's a little too early to panic. I personally wasn't drafting a ton of Omar Cooper. If you did and you want to move out, it's probably not the best time because, again, his value is depreciated. Give it a bit, see if he can bounce in, get a good game or two here. If you're really concerned long term, sure, move on. But again, not panicking. All right, tight ends. Again, we didn't hear a ton. I saw some stuff, some chatter here today on X on Eli Raritan playing with the ones. That's a positive. A guy that didn't really go a ton, probably drafted in many of your rookie drafts. If he's out there on your free agent wire, maybe a good stash at the tight end position. But yeah, not much news around the tight end position. Not always the worst thing. Like, again, Eli Stowers looks as a great receiving tight end. Concerns in the blocking game. He's behind Dallas Goedert. He's not seen the light of day for a bit. Justin Jolly, again, was one that I kind of liked a little later. Good receiving profile. Haven't heard much from him. That's probably not the best good news, no news situation because there's not much ahead of him in that tight end room. The blocking could be holding him back in that capacity just with the run first type of offense that the Broncos will probably be. Well, not really run first, but a heavy dosage of the run will be coming from that offense. So we could be seeing a little bit of the hindrance there from Jolly, but I still feel positive in that type of territory. The Jadarian Price hype, I wasn't buying into it. May regret that a bit. The early camp reports, everything looks really great. That might end up being a really good pick. He may, he should have probably gone higher, I guess, maybe. At least it seems like that right now. Early on, again, instant reaction type of territory. All the first round, we're not panicking, okay? Second round, you can panic a bit. You know, third round guys, But those late round guys, we got to talk about them because they're the ones that are they're going off, okay? Jacoby Lane's having a good training camp. Posted a tweet out there that I got a little bit of Ravens fans mad. You know what I'm saying? They're all mad. They're throwing haymakers in the Twitter streets, okay? Either way, Jacoby Lane is having a good camp. I will agree there. But it's no different than what we already knew. He's a good vertical playing receiver. He does well on soft breaking routes. He has good hands, good catch radius. We knew that. That's what he was at USC. Still needs to develop that lateral plane type of breaks and cuts to really kind of be an everyday player. We'll see. Maybe the Ravens disagree. Maybe he just plays some more, but I really still think that he's a little buried. I think it's still going to be Rashad Bateman as long as he stays healthy, as the other guy aside Zay Flowers. May see more 11 personnel, and that might be where he can come in and handle that role. So we'll see. We'll see. But it's good news for Jacoby Lane. Elijah Sherrod, not so much. Haven't heard as much fun and love out of that room there. It's a little concerning there. However, the one that is pounding the table, Deshaun Stribling. All right. A guy that really came out of nowhere. A lot of people thought he was overdrafted. Maybe not. All right. Really feels like the only healthy receiver. And I think he even was dinged up for a practice or two that the 49ers currently roster. All right. There's a huge opportunity in front of him. Hopefully you got in on this and you have some shares somewhere, because it does feel like Stribling may have a huge rookie season on the pure volume standpoint of it. Still a fairly talented player, just wasn't really on my radar. I didn't think he was that talented enough to be really fantasy viable, but here we are. We're August 20th, 2026, and Deshaun Stribling is the guy you probably are going to regret you didn't draft in fantasy drafts in 2026. Other ones we're going to regret. Maybe it's Cyrus Allen. Maybe. Much like the shorter in stature, quick type of players. Very good separator. He is lighting up Chiefs camp at the moment. There's a lot of opportunity in the Chiefs receiver room as well. Outside of Rashee Rice, who also is still nursing an injury. Xavier Worthy really hasn't matured into much of what we probably expected him to be, I guess. Like, much like we do with all of these Chiefs receivers, and they tend to not pan out. Not saying Cyrus Allen will not, but let's give it the... I don't know if I'm ready to crown Cyrus Allen as a guy that we were going to regret we didn't draft. I do think that he is one of the bigger risers. Obviously, was probably undrafted in your rookie drafts. Again, if he's still out there, go get him as soon as you can. Last but not least of the risers, probably the biggest risers, I should say, Caleb Douglas. A guy that went high in the draft before Chris Bell, who the Dolphins also drafted, and Kevin Coleman, two guys that I liked pretty well through that draft process. And, you know, you turn on Caleb Douglas tape at Texas Tech, it's fairly impressive. He's a true X receiver. He put that sick one-handed grab out there in the preseason in week one. All the vibes around Caleb Douglas right now are very good. And I do think that he's going to be the true perimeter receiver and probably could arguably be the highest scoring fantasy receiver out of the Dolphins. Now, that said, it may not be that many points. Dolphins offense may be atrocious. All right. It's going to be a lot of Devon Achane. Malik Willis, jury's out. So, like, maybe he's a better passer than we think for the entirety of the season. He looked good in Green Bay in that small sample. But can he push that to a 17-game season? About to find out. But yeah, Caleb Douglas, definitely a guy I'm intrigued by. All three of these guys are probably untouchable as far as trades go. If you can get them at a reasonable price, and when I say reasonable, like, I don't want to pay more than a third round pick, because there's a good chance that Well, Stribling, maybe you would. Feels a little bit safer than the other two. But really paying much more than a third round pick for these guys, it could pay off. Second round picks are also still very volatile. But yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to give up my future for either of these players, to be honest. If you can move like a veteran, you know, if someone wants to take, I like Josh Downs. Feeling the Josh Downs territory, wide receiver 30 to 40 range off the board for one of these guys, I'd do it. I don't know if it gets it done, but I'd do it. All right. Other than that, Jonah Coleman, kind of talked about him a bit earlier. Really does seem like he's cementing himself as the running back 2-3-ish of this class. Like I said, Jerrion Price is looking good. Jeremiah Love now injured, but again, no panics there as far as that goes long term. After that, yeah, it's barren wasteland. I mean, Nick Singleton hasn't been making a ton of noise. He's probably arguably should have been your running back 4 territory in the drafts. Demond Claiborne, we haven't heard much about either. He had kind of an opportunity in front of him. Jordan Mason's been playing pretty well in camp, so I've seen. So again, haven't heard much from Claiborne. Emmett Johnson, though, on the other hand, has had some drum beats circling there in Kansas City as well, as looking pretty solid. And from the clips that I have seen, he has looked pretty good. Other than that, there's not much going on here as a rookie drum beat goes. I mean, we're kind of just highlighting a little bit of that first initial bam, here's some information about these players, and seeing like, okay, these players rose, you know, and that's Stribling, Caleb Douglas, Cyrus Allen, Jacoby Lane, really are guys that are pushing up these draft boards and look like they may be very good assets earlier than we had anticipated, where some of these high-end guys, those likes of Jordan Tyson, Omar Cooper, Kenyon Sadiq, all really not having a big impact. Okay. Another first rounder slash second rounder as well, both in Cleveland. Not the drum beats were bigger for Denzel Boston in training camp. Just today, they had inner team scrimmage practices. Bills Browns. I can't think right now. Don't mind me. Bills Browns. Team practices were today. KC Concepcion looked unstoppable. I'm still full go KC Concepcion. If there's any glimmer of doubt, which may have been shut today, I would be acquiring KC Concepcion. I would give up a first round pick for him. I just really think that he's what they want in that offense. I think Denzel Boston will be solid. The quarterback play at the moment, though, doesn't scream hope for what Denzel Boston does well. I really think, though, he'll have his heyday as well in Denzel Boston. But I think this offense is going to run through KC Concepcion. Some people were tweeting out saying that Munkins kind of just brought the Zay Flowers role over to this offense for KC Concepcion. And I would agree. I think that that's what he does well. He has that quickness, that versatility. He was a guy that I like comped to like a Jaden Reed, or some people are saying like some Deebo Samuel stuff. He's smaller than Deebo Samuel a little bit, so not as physical in that capacity, but a guy that just, once the ball's in his hand, magic happens, you know, similar to say Zachariah Branch, who's getting a little bit of some love in Atlanta. So it's still, I think, KC Concepcion's world in Cleveland. So if you did draft KC Concepcion, don't get cold feet yet. All right. His time is coming. All right. When the real footballs start flying, I think KC Concepcion is going to be a really good player for us in fantasy. At least early on, it may be flex, but I think long term, KC Concepcion is going to be the better fantasy option than Denzel Boston. Both could be viable, though. We may have two very viable Cleveland receivers for the first time in ages. Maybe ever. I honestly, let's think about this. Jerry Jeudy was for a bit. Cedric Tillman, you know, maybe a couple weeks here or there. Yeah. I think in any recent memory that I can pull from my head at this moment, which is pretty jumbled, two toddlers, fantasy season starting. I think this may be the best duo for potential fantasy upside in Cleveland. But we can't forget about Harold Fannin, who's floating around in there either. All right. Again, talk Zachary Branch a bit there. He's looking solid. You know, they're showing some clips of some deep balls. Then when it gets to games or even some of the scrimmage stuff today, again, the highlights are coming out of just, you know, around the line of scrimmage, which is he's very good at. Excellent. In the ball in his hands and making people miss. Like, that's what Zachariah Branch is. We knew that. It's what he was used at Georgia. That's his game. Yards after the catch. So, again, just drum beats for Zachariah Branch. Still a guy that I'm leery on being a huge fantasy asset just because I do think he ends up getting pigeonholed into, you know, the Khalil Shakir type of role. Viable here and there. Just don't think that he's going to be, you know, hog into the point to where he's a consistently great fantasy asset. Quarterback class, Fernando Mendoza looked great. We're going to see him more. We probably could be seeing him at the moment. And then after that, Drew Allar looked solid. Carson Beck looked pretty decent. Not really caring much about quarterbacks after Fernando Mendoza. I do think Allar's intriguing just because of the situation in Pittsburgh. If they can't be in a spot to draft one next year, he may get a chance. But outside of that, I'm not Carson Beck. He's going to, even if he wins the job partway through this season, unless he really puts a show on, he will be replaced in 2027. So again, not caring much about this quarterback class. That stance really hasn't changed for me since April. All right. Quick one. We're just talking a little bit of recap. We just, you know, as the season approaches in Dynasty, we don't want to overreact. We want to make some trades here or there. There could be some buy, sell, stuff like that. But we haven't gotten enough information. So don't overreact here in week one or two of preseason. Okay? That's the biggest takeaway from this episode, right? Patience, calmness, maybe move on some of those late round guys. Enjoy the ride. All right? Remember, this is the FTN Dynasty Podcast. Make sure you're liking, subscribing on all platforms. Make sure you follow FTN Fantasy on all the social platforms. You have a social platform. FTN has an account. Check them out. Subscribe, like, follow. You know the shindig. As well, follow me. New X account, Popes underscore FF. If you're on Blue Sky, it is still Popes FFH at Blue Sky. All right. Again, check out FTN Fantasy. Thank you for the listen. Till next week. Take care.